heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly-poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and I am here today with Steve of Key Lime Pie. Steve, authentic key lime pies from Red Hook. I'm not even a key lime fan, and this guy converted me in 2001.
We love converts.
Unbelievable. And I will only eat your pies. And also, we're not just here to talk about pies. Steve is a diehard fisherman to the point where I had to chase him down today. They left me on the shore weeping, and the big boys went out, caught a bunch of striped bass beauties, and I followed them back to the landing, and I'm waiting there, waiting, and then sure enough, here they are. They show up with, like, what did you have, five striped bass?
Four.
Four striped bass, yeah. Beautiful keepers.
And you got to bring home some fish
heads. And now I am fully equipped for tonight to make a yummy chowder. And I've figured out how to deal with fishermen and people in food and chefs and all those people. You don't schedule. You just piss them off and you show up at their front door. This is really, it works. We come in a few minutes late, but, you know, basically it's like between chefs and fishermen, I think I have the two most non-committal people that I ever could have found.
You know, it's funny when I tell my wife, I say, we're going fishing. We'll just be out for an hour.
Yeah, right.
And she said, is that a fisherman's hour?
Exactly. Five or six.
Well, she knows if it's a fisherman's hour, just don't.
Just forget it. So, yeah, I picked up Steve with his wife, with his child. Poor guys. They had no plan on even coming on the radio show. But there I am, ready to go. And I actually, while you were fishing, I got a tour of your bakery, which is incredible.
Yes, it is. It's pretty cool. Considering I started out in a studio apartment,
right?
For 4 years with a tenant stove that was held shut with a bungee cord. I can't believe it's gone where it's gone.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And what I love is that you live, if you didn't know that you're in Brooklyn, you might think that you're in the Keys.
People say that all the time, right? When they stroll in, yeah.
I mean, the memorabilia and the view of the water, and right. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But Red Hook's kind of incredible.
Yeah, it is. Still.
It is. And how did you get into the pies in the beginning?
Well, I had made them for myself, living in Miami. Like I said, any self-respecting native South Floridian should know how to make a decent key lime pie.
But this, you don't have a Floridian accent. You've got
Well, I've been here a while.
A long time. You must have been. Yeah. All right.
So I had been up here doing construction work for a number of years, and I had a back injury.
Okay.
I was collecting workman's comp, and I'd gone down to Florida to visit my mom, brought back some key limes with me.
Okay.
I got invited to a barbecue, this group called the Red Meat Club. They were real serious foodies at the time. I don't know if they're still around. Huh. So I took a couple pies for dessert, and one of the guys there said, these are great. Can you make them for my restaurant?
Right.
And that's how it started.
Unbelievable. You know,
four pies a week.
And had you grown up making key lime pies?
No, but I just did it basically I made them at home because
that's what
it was hard to get a good one.
Right.
You know.
It's funny. I'm doing the same thing with lobster. It was born out of frustration. Like, you can't get a good lobster roll in the city. So, boom, right out of your apartment. Same.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And then, but you're like a full scale operation now. I mean, I had my camera and I did a little snooping. You've got like four or five trucks, which seem equipped for delivery.
They're not all running.
Okay. All right. Probably one of them is only the one running. But,
yeah,
right?
We have one delivery truck.
Okay.
But, you know, I did it for years. I had a Ford pickup truck.
Okay.
And my refrigeration was, I had big igloo coolers.
Just out of the cooler.
Now carry fish.
Okay.
So I could fit 18 pies in a cooler. And my refrigeration company was those little refreezable freezer pack.
Yeah.
I did that for years.
And so now what is the operation? You're selling mostly to restaurants?
Yeah, primarily restaurants, hotels, a couple retail places.
Okay.
And you know, people can walk in and buy stuff if they want.
People go crazy. I've never had one of the sort of dipped. I guess it would be your popsicle of pies.
The swingle.
The swingle. I mean, it is unreal. And then I happened to run into famous Fat Dave, who was there bringing one of his tours through.
He's one of my best customers.
He's like, oh, you got to see. This is how you do it. And he goes and he takes two of your key limes, squeezes them onto the pie. It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
I had a guy doing that. This guy, Jason, who's out in Oregon now. He's actually trying to start the key lime pie business out there.
Wow. A franchise?
Not real. Well, we're trying to work things out with
him. Steve's rollout concept.
But Jason's the one that started this, oh, let me squeeze some fresh key lime your swingle. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's a pain in the ass.
Who started this?
Okay, right.
Damn you, Jason.
Right, because it was so easy before. Well, I doubt it. But, so, I mean, it's awesome. It is a real, it's a bakery. It's sort of a factory. I mean, you guys are churning out pies at a pretty serious rate. Mm. And what is the secret? As far as I know, you are using key limes from the Keys.
So from Mexico.
From Mexico.
Right.
But that's what a lot of people aren't doing with their pies?
Very few. I mean, there could be some mom and pop places down in the Keys that have a tree on the property. But in terms of commercial bakeries, there's only one other commercial bakery who's using the other people are using a concentrated, you know, it comes shipped in a drum. It's reconstituted. And as I like to say, it's great for stripping paint or removing rust. Don't get it near food. Yeah. I mean, it's garbage.
Yeah. You know? Okay.
So, I mean, the idea is when I started making it for myself, the same reason you started making lobster rolls, you know, I wanted the real deal.
Right.
So that's the whole idea behind what we're doing. I'm making that same product for the New York City market that I made for my family, my friends.
And what's the secret to, I mean, what do you start with fresh ingredients, but if somebody wanted to know, like, how do you stay authentic and true to yourself? How do you?
Well, you can't compromise.
Okay.
Otherwise, you got to hope that your customers or the people out there are, and I've had people come in and say, oh, it's so expensive.
Right.
Well, it's not Sara Lee.
Sure.
You know,
you can go somewhere else if you don't want to pay.
We got five ingredients.
Yeah.
You know, we get fresh butter.
Sure.
Graham cracker crumbs, specially formulated with no hydrogenated oils.
So, I mean, you're making every single crust by hand. Is that how it works?
On the 10-inch pies, yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And that crust is out of control.
Oh, I'm assuming you got a fresh one.
Yes.
I mean, for me, it's like after 3 hours, it starts to turn.
Well, I mean, it was so fresh that I saw the whole process all the way through. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
They were actually they were assembling pies.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure we could find a substitute for butter.
Yeah.
The condensed milk we get comes from a dairy in Wisconsin. I mean, the stuff is fresh.
Okay.
You know, it comes off the line, packaged and gets sent to us.
Why is it that the key limes are not coming from the Keys anymore? Is that the...
Yeah, they haven't harvested them in the Keys for ages, or even in South Florida. There used to be, if I remember this right, I read somewhere, on some of the northern Keys, there were two brothers that had a thriving business. And they used to ship, I mean, they used to take the stuff by boat into Miami to sell. But there was one of the hurricanes wiped out all the groves.
Really?
Yeah.
So now probably just on an individual basis, you can get them down there, but not for production.
Well, when I used to buy them down there, if I couldn't get them off of a tree, they were actually imported from Mexico and then repackaged into a little bag to sell.
Huh. But they probably said Florida grown.
No, I don't think they can do that. But you know, I forgot what I was going to say.
I don't know, but they're, I mean, all I have to say, well, first of all, a lot of people don't know what one actually looks like. They're tiny.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of squeezing you guys have to do.
Well, that's the other reason that the so-called regular line, the Persian line, it makes so much more sense for the producers because they're huge. You fill up a big box, there's 120.
Sure.
To fill up a box of key limes is about 400.
Right.
So,
I mean, these things are like an inch and a half, 2 inches tops, right? I mean,
golf ball
size.
Ping pong ball size.
Yeah. And what is it that makes it so good? Is it the tartness of it, or what's the... trick?
I don't know, man. It could be nothing at all. They could taste exactly the same.
It's a lot of added effort, but but it's the same kind of thing. It's like what makes main.
It's those. No, yeah. I shouldn't say this.
But I go through this every day. Everyone's like, "Can you taste the difference between a Canadian lobster and a Maine lobster?" I'm like, "I'd like to think so."
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I mean, I just got back from Mexico, and you won't find black pepper on a table in a restaurant, but you'll find key limes.
Right.
There. So they basically garnish everything with it. I put it over ice cream.
Okay.
You know, I just squeeze awesome. And it chills up and kind of freezes. So you got this really nice, sour, frosty stuff going on with your strawberry ice cream. It's good stuff.
Now, you use key limes. Okay, we'll shift gears for a second. You use the same key limes on your... on fish, if you're cooking fish,
absolutely. Yeah,
you use it. I mean, I've had your drinks, your lemonade, limeade,
right?
And you have three varieties of pies now. Is that right?
No, three different sizes, right?
But then you also have the swingle,
yeah.
which everyone has to go and try this. So go to Red Hook. You'll be first of all. I mean, it doesn't feel like a New York scene. It's like driving into a little fishing village. And there's boats and buoys and you're following these signs, key lime, arrows. And all of a sudden you pull up on this little door and you walk in the door and it's awesome. It's just kind of like, it looks like Captain Ahab's front door. I don't know. And then you get in there and like, you've only got three or four choices and you go, oh, I'll get the key lime drink with the key lime popsicle stick thing, whatever, and then I'll take a pie on top of that. And I mean, it's swindle. S.
People make that mistake. Swindle. No, it's swingle.
G in there. Yeah. Swingle.
If you walk in and ask for a swindle, you might get one.
The swingle is literally, I'm going to try and describe this. It is a miniature key lime pie dipped in dark chocolate. You can do a better description, but stuck on a popsicle stick, and you eat it like a popsicle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny. When we first started to do this, I went out and bought a confectionery dipping chocolate.
Okay.
And it's shit.
Yeah.
Chocolate needs to be thinned with an oil.
All right.
And this had palm kernel oil in it. And right. it was garbage. It was like a little transparent paper thin coating on it.
Yeah.
So I said, fuck it. I got to do it myself.
And yours is, I mean, you look at it and you can't even see the pie through it. I mean, it's dark.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wish I could get a nice thick, like a Dove bar coating on it. Maybe I'd have to start double dipping.
Double dipping.
but no, now we buy a Belgian chocolate.
Okay.
We thin it with an organic coconut oil. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to stay true and still make the best product. So, you know, there's places down in the Keys that do the chocolate dip thing. But
okay.
It's already an inferior pie,
right?
Dipped in, I'm assuming, an inferior chocolate.
So I'm just telling everybody right now, go have this experience. It is well worth it.
Right? You know, I've heard a lot of complaints about the grumpy owner at times. Yeah. So I do kind of stay away from the counter.
You don't seem grumpy. I mean, I think that's probably because you guys caught a lot of fish today. But
that could be.
So then the boys come back today. They've got these huge striped bass, and you show up in a van with a mess of rods and filleted the fish right there in front of me, actually right outside of the shop. And it's pretty awesome. If this is how you live, it's not a bad. I mean, maybe you were just putting on a show, but I kind of ambushed
not.
You. You know,
absolutely.
So I know that you didn't set it up.
I wish it was that easy to recreate. You know, every day. No, but the setup.
Do you catch
itself,
that many fish every time you go out?
But they've actually been catching more lately.
Really?
Yeah, the bass have been running really well. I just got back Monday from Mexico, crazy. So I missed out on a lot of the heavy hitting.
So what, you share a boat with these guys? Is that the idea?
Yeah, me and Tua. You met Mike, and then there's Stefan. He's the third partner.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been fishing.
No.
No.
Huh. And then...
He still pays his share, though.
I love it, though, because it's like this little, like, the town, the congregation comes and watches you fillet, and then I took off with the racks, the heads, the, you know, I got some skin in there. I got everything I'm going to need to make a stock. And then some people got fillets, and it's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone gets fed.
It's a little party down there. It's very cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff's wife, Lee, was there.
Right.
She walked home with a fillet.
Yep. Yep. Jeff from Motorcycle Works over in Park Slope.
Yeah.
Tom's little, what do we call him?
The
minion.
The Pfeiffer, poor guy. The Pfeiffer bunker.
keeping customers. That's Jeff's job. Yeah. Also, diehard fisherman, Tom. And
Tommy's been, but he's. We went to Mexico together.
Okay.
On a tuna trip.
Okay.
And a bunch of us went down to the Keys together.
Okay.
On a fishing / drinking trip.
I love it. I mean, this is honestly, this is like dude heaven.
It's a brotherhood.
It is a brotherhood. You walk in there, you're like, oh, cool. You know, like they're making, I mean, apart from, you know, pies, you guys put a pretty masculine twist on pies with all the motorcycles and fishtails around you.
Well, we actually get pretty tired of people trying to, you know, we have a little thing that says, please don't go beyond this point.
And okay.
People are dying. It's like peeking behind the purple
curtain. It's awesome back there.
What?
What is going on
back there? No.
One room after the next gets cooler.
We're putting
cooler.
A plywood wall up.
Are you really?
Well, yeah, I think we're going to have to.
Yeah. It's hard because, you know, you weren't there, and I was kind of like, maybe I can do a little snooping.
Yeah, you could have.
And then, I mean, how did you get into the fishing? Is that just what's your – I mean, did you move to Red Hook for the fishing?
No. I grew up in Miami.
Yeah.
You know what my last name is?
I don't even know.
Tarpon.
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Spelt differently.
But all I know is authentic Steve.
Yeah. I still thought about changing my name to Steve Keeline
there because that's,
no one really knows. But
this,
you
know, is, this
tarpon
is better.
Is a big game
this
fish
is better, yeah.
Down in Florida. So, you know, having grown up in Miami, we fished. We had canals and stuff that are interlinked to the Everglades. So we had big bass running around in the canals.
Yep.
And then we could catch a bus and go over to, there used to be a fishing pier. I don't know if it's still there, down at South Beach.
Okay.
When that whole southern tip of South Beach used to be a kennel club.
Uh-huh.
They used to have dog races there.
Huh.
So easy access.
Right.
And, yeah, just fish.
And
it's a, you know, South Florida is amazing because you're 50 miles across the Gulf Stream, you're in Bimini.
Right.
You know, that's a narrow stretch.
Yeah.
Going the other direction, you're in the Everglades, great freshwater fishing, and then you're down in the Keys.
That's what I was going to say. I think most people think of Florida as like sport fishing capital of the world, but there's so many other types of fish that are just great eating fish.
Well, you saw the little boat that we're building down. Yeah. It's a 17-foot boat.
Awesome. I left that out of the equation, and they're building boats back there. Motorcycles, boats, what else cool did I see? I mean, it's awesome.
But that boat is for what Mike and I used to try and get down a couple times a year down to Florida to fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned this to you yesterday when we were talking about the snook.
Yeah, yep.
Which is, it's absolutely my favorite fish to catch, my favorite fish to eat.
Huh.
They're unbelievable.
Huh. Yeah.
Real, real strong fighters.
What do you get them on?
Live shrimp.
Okay.
If you can get live shrimp big enough anymore, they're really, it's hard to get. And you can use a variety of lures, classic lures and stuff.
Okay.
But that boat would be perfect for, you know, we're not taking a 17-foot boat to Bimini.
Right.
You know,
right.
But for the Keys and the backwater and
it's a beauty.
Yeah.
It's a wooden boat.
Yeah.
Really high gunnel, so I guess you can go out in some rough.
Well, it hasn't been tested yet. Technically it's not a boat until it's in
the
water.
And I'm talking to a guy who's sunk a boat, so maybe you better christen that before it goes out on its maiden voyage.
Yeah.
I it's funny, my grandfather actually was a diehard fisherman, and he ended up getting arrested in Florida, actually.
Is that right?
Yeah, he caught a fish that was a little too small.
Ooh.
And siren, boat pulls up.
You're serious?
Sir, can I see the fish you just caught? And my grandfather goes, well, you know, I foul hooked it and it wouldn't have made it. The guy goes, uh-huh, let me see the fish.
Right.
Pulls out the fish. And my grandfather says, well, you know what? This is sort of embarrassing. He goes, I happen to be head of fisheries in Massachusetts.
Oh, is that right?
The guy goes, well, it's good news. He goes, because my dad's head of fisheries in Florida.
Oh,
he goes,
God,
so you're going to the slammer.
Oh, boy.
And it was a battle, man. It was a court case. And
well, you know what they do now quite often? They'll wait. They won't search your boat.
Yeah.
They'll wait until you come up to the ramp and put it on the trailer and get it up. That way, not only do they get to confiscate your boat, they get to confiscate your vehicle too.
It's really smart because, you know, out there you can get away. I mean, you have a better chance of you know, making a run for it. But
honestly, I, you know, if growing up, there weren't any kind of size limits. Mm. Maybe on snook there were, because they were terribly overfished, and at this point the fisheries come back.
Yep.
And I don't have any problem with the imposition of size limits.
I think it's a great thing.
Just proven this season for striped bass has been unbelievable. Everybody's saying that they've never seen it like this.
It really works, and I think we have to do more of it because, like you said, I mean, they've dropped it down, actually. It was 31 for a while, at least in Massachusetts. It was, and now it's 28 there, too.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and with the fluke, I mean, I think there needs to be some consistency, too, mm-hmm. because I think we have to catch fluke that are 21 inches.
Okay.
And New Jersey can catch them. If they're 18, they can keep them.
Well, Jersey gets away with everything. your son has got his nose up against the glass. He's the cutest little guy. How old is he?
He'll be 8 in August.
He's like, what's my dad doing in there? How did my dad get so famous making pies?
He's like 80% Mexican right now, you know, after spending a month in Mexico.
Yeah. And where do you guys go in Mexico?
Victoria's got family in Mexico City.
Yep.
And this particular time, we were in Oaxaca.
Yeah.
And Puebla and Chiapas.
Nice.
We're running around. We're setting up a kind of a gallery down at the...
Which is the fourth coolest room in the, or the door number 4 in cool things. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's going to be ceramics and all these sort of awesome Mexican, what? I don't know what you call it.
Well, it's.
The colors.
I can look at
unreal.
It and say it's art.
It is art. Yeah. It's artisan stuff. It's awesome. Yeah.
They're all artisans. I mean, we're tracking the people down.
Yeah.
You know, we're not buying from a broker or anything. We're going. I'll give you an example. This one town in Puebla, I can't even remember the name of it, but we had to drive up a dusty dirt road in the desert to get to this woman's house where they make this certain kind of pottery. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Now, do you guys drive there? Have you driven there?
I did last year. Yeah,
really?
I did a 3-month
and by yourself.
Trip. Yeah, Victoria actually met me in a couple places. You know, she was hanging in Mexico City with the family.
Is it, I mean, I know, you know, us lame Americans are like scared to do it now because of all the border conflicts and drugs and whatever.
Right.
Like, is that hype?
I didn't have any problems.
No.
You know, I got helped out quite a bit on the road when I was in trouble. The biggest problem, I never had problems with any federales or state police.
Okay.
It was these little fucking local guys, I don't know what they call them, trafico.
Okay.
You know, they're just trying to shake it down for money.
Right.
I had a canoe on
there. Our equivalent of like the meter guys.
Yeah, but they'll actually come right out and try to extort money.
That's so
and I was carrying
up.
A canoe on top of my truck, so they could see me coming from blocks away.
That's crazy. And you drove that little Toyota now?
Yeah, man. It was great.
Wow.
Yeah. Got beached once. I got stuck in the sand.
Amazing.
And it was Sunday, and it was getting late.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, I couldn't tell where the high water mark was.
Right.
I was literally driving on the beach. And some gal said, oh, I know some people, and let me see if I can get some help. And she came back, she says, you know, it's Sunday, everybody's been drinking, and there's a fight going on right now. And once they're through fighting, they're going to come over and help you. And these dudes, sure enough, they came over. These guys were digging like turtles, man, to get me out.
Unbelievable. Yeah. After the fight. As long as the fight's over.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens all the time. I was out in Jersey fishing the other day, and like, you really have to be careful. I mean, you can't slow down. You can't come to a stop when the sand is soft.
Mm.
And we dropped the tires down to like 12 PSI. I mean, it was almost flat tires. And then you really have to keep an eye on the tides.
Yeah.
Because you'll get stuck out there. And they're not going to be psyched when you call them up to pull your...
No.
If you're lucky enough to even get it out of there.
Right. Yeah. It almost happened to me in North Carolina. Well, you've been that... Fish the Outer Banks?
I haven't fished I've surfed the Outer Banks, but yeah, I love it down there.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Love it.
Same thing with the sand. You got to be careful.
Right. Now, what do you fish?
I think that just goes, you know, trucks and sand. It's just kind of...
Bad combination. Yeah. What do you do when you go down to Mexico? Are you fishing down there as well as picking up art pieces?
Well, this particular time was to try and, you know, search out the artisans that we could, that we had in mind. We didn't have a whole lot of time. We only had a month.
Okay.
But the last time was, I didn't have it wasn't bookended at all. Right. I could have stayed longer if I wanted to. Right. And it was pretty much 3 months.
Okay.
And I couldn't even tell you how many states I traveled. But yeah, I had three rigs. I had like an ultralight with a 4-pound test.
Okay.
I had a medium rig.
Okay.
And then I had a heavier one.
And so you just fished from the shore then?
Fish from the shore. Yeah. The idea was to have the canoe.
Oh, right.
I never liked that canoe since I have a canoe for sale too, if anyone's interested.
There you go. You might have just sold it.
2.5 Yamaha engine.
I find it kind of scary, to be honest, to do fishing out of like, you know, tiny boats like that. And you go out, you get out so far, and all you need to do is flip that thing over.
Well, I was spoiled. I had a canoe in Florida. Mm. And man, I took that thing everywhere. I call it the needlefish.
Okay.
You know, it was gray, long, and sleek. It was about 17 feet, but it was so well built,
right,
and very stable. Yeah. It as stable as the operator.
Okay.
So you know, in different degrees of operator stability, you know, it could change. But I would take that thing everywhere. I'd put a toolbox up in the front to kind of counterbalance it a little bit, and I'd be out in Biscayne Bay fishing all the time. Yeah. Huh.
And then what, you put one of those little extensions on the...
No, I didn't have that. I had to sit in the back a little bit. That's why I had to have the weight up front.
I see. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. when do you go back to Mexico? I know you just got back, but what's... Do you go down like twice a year, once a year? What's your...
Yeah, twice a year.
Twice a year.
You know, I promised Victoria's parents that they'd see Derek at least twice a year.
Yeah. It's... I guess you're doing what... I don't know. So many people do. It's like right when you get your business pretty much running smoothly on its own, you go and start another project.
Yeah, so I was thinking about that the other day. What are you doing, man? You know, you finally, it doesn't need a babysitter anymore.
Right.
And I've told people before, I said, you know, if you're not building a business, you're building a highly demanding job.
Yeah.
Because a business you can walk away from.
Yeah.
So I had a highly demanding job for years, and it's a business now. I feel like it's bona fide.
Yeah.
And now we're starting this other thing, and but it's cool. I'm really excited about it. Usually, people come in, I start talking about the stuff we have.
Right.
And like I ran into one of our neighbors in Red Hook, Ben, who runs the Good Fork.
Okay.
Great restaurant.
Okay.
Right on Van Brunt. And I'm talking to Ben. About, you know, he was outside his house and we pull away and I look at Victoria and says, I guess I'm excited about this, aren't I? Because I pull away and I feel like, man, I'm really...
It's
know,
great.
I'm
it's
not
great.
Trying to upsell it or anything. Right. It's just I could sense the excitement about what we have and,
totally.
And the kind of stuff. It's just, it's awesome, the kind of stuff we're coming across.
And it's also, I mean, it works for your space because it is like a mini gallery in there anyways. Mm. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah. We'll see.
Awesome. Well, guys, you've heard it here. This is authentic Steve. You really are down to the core, the most authentic guy we can find in the neighborhood. So thanks for coming on the show.
Absolutely. It's fun.
And I really appreciate the last minute, I don't know, drive over here. It was, I don't know what we were doing, but we were going through Bushwick in the most roundabout way ever, but we did end up
Let me
here.
Ask you something.
Yeah.
Because what's with the, I call them chocolate cake hats.
Okay.
But it's only on Thursday.
The Hasidic, is it a Thursday thing?
Well, today's Thursday and they're all wearing them. Could be Thursday and Friday.
Man, they are the hottest thing. They're fur. They're real
fur.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the religious purpose behind it.
I just wonder what...
all I know is they're worth a fortune.
Yeah.
And, you know, every guy has one. And
right.
I think it's also like a coming of age thing because you don't see the kids with them. So a lot of time and energy goes into wearing that really hot hat.
We'll get you on the boat.
Okay, I would love to come on the boat. I'm telling you, man, tears were in my eyes.
It was kind of thrown together.
It's cool.
Yesterday.
I've been left behind before. You know, it's fine. No, no, no worries.
Well, this was employee employer day.
I got it. Right? I got it.
Because I had Samantha and Mike had Rob. So
it's cool. The next time I'm going to follow you out in a little Zodiac. No, go. I'm coming with you.
We'll tie the canoe on.
There we go. Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Absolutely.
All right, you rock. All the time, I'm a-goin' fishing too. I bet your life.